From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, welcome back with me Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with the news. And stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo directing CPO produce for green after. Indonesia encourages African Union to join infrastructure dialogue. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo pointing crude palm oil CPO be produced for environmentally friendly green after fuel. At an opening session of the limited cabinet meeting at presidential office in Jakarta on Monday, President Joko Widodo said that the step is aimed to reduce imported aftur so that the trade balance deficit, the current account deficit, can improve. The president also asked Pertamina to explore CPO through co-processing policy in order to produce green diesel and green gasoline in many oil refineries of PT Pertamina. The president moreover hoped the use of B20 biodiesel in January 2020 can change into B30. The Indonesian government has encouraged the African Union to participate in the Indonesia-Africa Infrastructure Dialogue IAID that will be held in Bali in the next 2 weeks on August 20th and 21st, 2019. As a written statement issued by the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Monday stated that Indonesian Ambassador to Kenya, Suharjono Sastro Miharjo, delivered the invitation during a meeting with the African Union Special Envoy of Infrastructure, Raila Amolo Odinga. In the meeting at the Special Envoy Office in Nairobi, Ambassador Suharjono stressed the importance of the African Union's participation in the IAID as a follow-up to last year's Indonesia-Africa Forum, IAF. Hence, Ambassador Suharjono stressed that the African Union's participation at the IAID meeting was important to push forward the realization of the business deal in the infrastructure sector and to drive the implementation of cross-Africa infrastructure projects. The Indonesia-Pakistan Preferential Trade Agreement was expanded to become the Indonesia-Pakistan Trade in Goods Agreement, IPTIGA, after running for 5 years. Director of Bilateral Negotiations, Indonesian Trade Ministry, Nima De Ayu Martini, in a press conference in Jakarta on Monday said that on the visit of President Joko Widodo to Islamabad in January 2018, the two heads of state agreed to develop IPPTA to become IPTIGA, which will cover the whole products of Indonesia and Pakistan. The mandate was followed up by the two countries on the first joint negotiating committee, GNC-IPTIGA meeting in Islamabad, Pakistan, on August 8-9, 2019. At the meeting, the two countries successfully finalized terms of reference as guidelines of the next IPTIGA conference. Indonesian Defense Minister Yamizar Yakudu asked all parties to be alert at presence of radicalism embryo in educational sector. In countering radicalism at educational sector, Minister Yamizar said that he has called all rectors of universities in Indonesia. As quoted by Kompas.com, Minister Yamizar in Jakarta on Monday admitted that he has explained it to Minister of Education and Culture. You know, the curriculum of Pancasila, or the five basic principles, starts to be applied and strengthened again. He also said if Pancasila is taught early, the children will have shields to prevent themselves from radicalism. This news comes to you over Voice of Indonesia. Indonesian Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto explained the implementation of Making Indonesia 4.0, which is initiated by Indonesia, is comparable with business and trade policy in Europe. The minister said at a study launched by European Business Chamber of Commerce, or Eurocham, entitled Transforming Indonesia Economy Toward 4.0 Industry. Minister Airlangga Hartarto, in his statement in Jakarta, as quoted by Antara News Agency on Monday, said that the research done by Eurocharm discussed about four sectors, namely 4.0 industry, automotive pharmacy, as well as new energy resources supported by Internet of Things, or IoT. The policy made by the Indonesian government has been similar to what has been done by the European countries. Secretary of Coordinating Ministry of Economy Susi Wiono explained that export of horticulture production has a good prospect to increase national economy, targeted to grow of 5.3% until the end of 2019. Based on the data from the ministry, although the trade balance of Indonesia at the end of 2018 experienced deficit amounted to $8.70 billion, the sector of non-oil gas can give surplus worth $4 billion. The surplus showed that the potential of non-oil gas export is still huge, and if it is optimized, it can provide positive contribution as well as reducing the trade balance deficit of Indonesia. Therefore, Indonesian government keeps encouraging competitive production growth and high export potential. And the last item. Bank Indonesia, or BI, held an international seminar entitled Structural Transformation Through Manufacturing Sector Development for High and Sustainable Economic Growth in Jakarta on Monday. As quoted by MediaIndonesia.com, Deputy Governor of Bank Indonesia, Dodi Budiwaluyo, explained that the seminar was held due to the importance of the role of industry in encouraging Indonesian economic growth. The seminar aims at discussing the strategy of roadmap of manufacture development of Indonesia and achieving joint understanding about policy and the most appropriate industry strategy and supported by other countries. Dodi further explained, currently Indonesian economy has grown up rapidly. It is signed with the economic growth, which stands approximately 5.6% in the last 10 years. He said the economic growth number of Indonesia as developing country is still quite good amid global uncertainty condition. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo directing CPO produce for green after. Indonesia encourages African Union to join infrastructure dialogue. And listener, that's the news.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our good program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Scout Guards, the Unitary State of Republic of Indonesia. While listener, every August 14th, Indonesia commemorates Hari Pramuka or Scout Day. Pramuka is an abbreviation of Praja Muda Karana, which means young soul that likes to work. Since 1961, the Scouting movement has been the only Scouting organization tasked by conducting Scouting education for Indonesian children and youth. The existence of Indonesian Scouts cannot be separated from the history of struggle of the Indonesian people. At all times, Scouts are always present by participation in every struggle of Indonesian nation. For the people of Indonesia, it's certainly very important to commemorate Scout Day, not only to appreciate their participation in the struggle for independence, but also to strengthen the nation's character. Through the Scouting movement, each member is taught, trained, and instilled to be a brave, responsible, trustworthy, sacred person in thoughts, words, and deeds. Through the Scouting movement, with more than 25 million members, a box to maintain the integrity of unitary state of Republic of Indonesia can certainly be focused. Chairperson of the National Quarter, Budi Waseso, stated that the Scout movement is a forum for the formation of young people with character, as well as an antidote to drugs, radicalization, and hoaxes. In education and training activities and the formation of members, Scouts can include materials in a vote to counter ideas that are contrary to the state ideology Pancasila. Moreover, the Scouting activities inherent in education system in Indonesia become one of the extracurricular activities in elementary schools, secondary school, and even in universities. Scout membership has reached remote regions of Indonesia. The members certainly can function as an agents that spread goodness and enthusiasm to maintain the integrity of unitary state of Republic of Indonesia. With their promises, the Scouting members carry out obligations towards SCAT and the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia, practice Pancasila and helping others, and preparing themselves and building the people. Scouts are expected to make a real contribution in every humanitarian movement, both in the country and various parts of the world. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening. Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over Air Rival Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start for anyone on August 13, 1926, when Fidel Castro was born. Fidel Castro, born on August 13, 1926, was one of the most important figures for politics of the world, especially in the 20th century. Before becoming the 17th president of Cuba, Castro was an important figure in Cuban Revolution, which overthrew the government of Batista in 1959. Batista policy got close relations with the United States of America and oppressed socialist groups against fundamental political belief from Castro. Fidel Castro led Cuba for 5 decades. He learned views of Marxism, Leninism, and anti-imperialism when he was in college at Law Faculty University of Havana, Cuba. The outlooks became basic for him when he changed Cuba to become a socialist country under the leadership of Communist Party. His supporters said that Fidel Castro has returned back Cuba to his people, but he was accused of suppression opposition group. The next event is that in 1960, Republic of Central Africa obtained its independence. Republic of Central Africa is a country in the hinterland of Africa which shares borders with Chad, Sudan, Republic Democratic Congo, and Cameroon. In the past, the country was a French colony named Ubangi Sari, which gained its independence in 1960. The country fell in chaos after opposition coalition was dominated by Muslims, selected to overthrow the government of President Francois Bozize. Conflict of interreligion counts genocide to Muslims, and there have been a lot of abuses until now. And the last event is that in 1961, Berlin Wall was built. After World War II ended, Germany was split into West Germany, which was controlled by United States and its allies, and East Germany, which was controlled by Soviet Union. Berlin City, which was the important area and its status as the capital city of Germany, was also divided into 2 territories. Many East German people ran away to Western world because they did not want to live under communist ideology. As a result, around 2 million people of East Germany left their residence and went to other countries in Western countries. On agreement of Soviet, Walter Ulbricht, as Chancellor of East Germany, at the time ordered a step to isolate the people of East Germany. On August 13, 1960, spiked wire as far as 100 miles was installed at the border of East Berlin and West Berlin. Then this was changed with concrete wall. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Berjuta rasa-rasa yang tak mampu diungkapkan kata-kata. Dengan beribu cara-cara kau selalu membuat ku bahagia. Kau adalah alasan dan jawaban atas semua pertanyaan. Hanyalah kau untuk selalu di sini, ada untukku. Maukah kau tuh menjadi yang pertama yang selalu ada di sana.
semua impian dan harapan untuk menjadi kenyataan.
The song entitled Pilihanku or My Choice, sung by Malik and the Essentials. You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. The topic of today's My Indonesia is that Indonesia initiates the first regional humanitarian conference in Southeast Asia. The Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia hosted the first regional conference on humanitarian assistance, RCHA, which took place in Jakarta on 8 until 9 of August. The event was attended by 112 delegates from 17 countries consisting of government, non-government and international regional organizations that actively exchange views on increasing the capacity of humanitarian assistance in the region. As quoted from the website kemlo.go.id in his remarks at the opening of the meeting, Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs of Republic of Indonesia, Fashir, stated that in addressing multidimensional humanitarian issues, threat 1.5 diplomacy is necessary in engaging the relevant stakeholders in a bid to obtain the same cooperation and the right solution. Deputy Minister Fashir also said that humanitarian diplomacy, especially relating to the issue of providing humanitarian assistance, is an agenda prioritized by the government of Indonesia as stipulated in the Constitution. Meanwhile, Director General of Multilateral Cooperation at the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Febriant Rudiat, in the closing ceremony said that the regional conference initiated by the government of Indonesia is expected to be a step that begins the long journey of humanitarian activist cooperation in the region. Based on the many initiatives and positive experiences expressed during the two-day conference, this shows that there is a great opportunity to encourage the intensity of discussion and deeper cooperation. The conference discussed five major themes in the working group, in which each group specifically discussed and made recommendations relating to topics closely to the issue of providing humanitarian assistance. The first point is to strengthen humanitarian action at the national and local levels. The participants agreed that the international regional community have to play a major role in supporting national local capacity in humanitarian action. Actions taken by the international regional community must not overlap with humanitarian actions carried out by the community at the national and local levels. Instead, this must be strengthened and based on the needs of the local and national level. The second point is multi-sectoral partnership in humanitarian actions. Affected humanitarian assistance requires active contribution from various stakeholders. The third point is inclusiveness in humanitarian assistance. Protecting and empowering women, children, and people with disabilities and the elderly. Inclusivity is a must. Humanitarian actors must pay attention to women, children, and people with disabilities and the elderly, who are groups that need special attention in a disaster. Humanitarian actors must continue to promote and support efforts to improve and strengthen the representation, inclusiveness, and leadership of vulnerable groups in all stages of humanitarian action, including planning, implementation, and evaluation of human actions. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Sama, tak seperti saat pertama. Aku bilang mungkin pikiranmu saja.
Kamu bilang ku tak peduli, tak seperti pertama kali. Aku bilang janganlah ragu sendiri.
Ragu, banyak keraguan dalam hatimu, oh kasih.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
There was the song entitled Satu Satunya or The Only One, sung by Hyphy. You still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Hello listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you to a typical culinary of Solo, namely timlop. Tagar JKW kuliner makan-makan di Solo, which means hashtag JKW Culinary Eating in Solo, is the title of President Joko Widodo's vlog, which tells about favorite culinary of the president. Before the first episode of the vlog on air, it was firstly presented the vlog teaser. From the teaser vlog, it was told that there are some typical culinaries of Solo as the favorite foods of the president. One of the foods is timlop. Timlop is the food like soup, with fresh taste and usually enjoyed at night. Timlop is a soup dish which consists of glass noodles added with Solo sausage, shredded chicken, carrot, and slices of egg which is cooked with soy sauce. Sometimes, this culinary is served with scrambled egg and splashed with clear soup. Some ingredients which are used to make timlop are nutmeg, garlic, and fried onion. When it is eaten, the taste of its broth is very thick, savory, and fresh. If the soup is added with thick soy sauce, condiment, and lime, it becomes more and more delicious while eaten with rice. One portion of timlop has affordable price, which is around 20,000 rupiah and 5,000 rupiah for one portion of rice. According to the story, timlop was inspired from kimlo soup, which is popular in China. History lecturer of literature faculty from Sanata Dharma University, Yogyakarta, Hari Priyatmoko, ensured that timlop was inspired from the Chinese kimlo. The culinary then developed and many sold at Chinatown in East and Central Java. Hari also found a fact in receipt book of Masakan Putri Dapur in 1941, which was written by a Chinese woman, Li Xianghua. On the book, there is a guide how to cook kimlop by using pan, complete with materials and the way to make it. After studying the book and with the influence of cultural contact, Solo people tried and cooked the kimlop and changed the name to timlop. Concerning to the name, it is only to replace the K with T letter, then cooked by using egg as its main ingredient. For more delicious, the timlop is also added with sausage. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
You have just listened to the song entitled Putri Remaja, sung by Marcel. For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expression, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian through radio. This Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Overseas Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development and Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is, boleh saya mandi duluan? Or in English, may I go first to take a shower? Next, I will give an example of a conversation entitled Boleh saya mandi duluan? Or in English, may I go first to take a shower? Tony and Joko's families are traveling to Parangtritis Beach. Tony is lining up to rinse in the public bathroom. Suddenly, there is a man who wants to go into the bathroom first.
Hey, tolong antri.
Oh, maaf, maaf. Boleh saya mandi duluan? Sebentar saja. Saya akan cepat-cepat.
Kenapa?
Ibu saya sakit, saya harus segera pulang.
Baiklah, silakan.
Terima kasih.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce the expression and vocabulary related to this theme, which is boleh saya mandi duluan, or in English, may I go first to take a shower? I will say the words two times and you may repeat after me. Tolong antri, tolong antri, which means please queue. Boleh saya mandi duluan? Boleh saya mandi duluan? Can I take a shower first? Duluan, duluan, which means first. Lebih dahulu, which means first. Sebentar saja, which means just a minute. Saya akan cepat-cepat. I will hurry. Kenapa? Why? Ibu saya, my mother. Ibu saya sakit. Which means my mother is sick. Pergi ke pantai. Which means go to the beach. Harus segera pulang. Which means must go home soon. In the dialogue, you heard a male visitor asking, Boleh saya mandi duluan? Which means, can I take a shower first? In Indonesian conversations, the phrase boleh saya duluan, which means may I go first, is usually to ask permission when going ahead of others in doing something. So if you want to overtake someone else doing something, you can say boleh saya duluan, which means may I go first. Another example, boleh saya pergi ke pantai duluan, which means may I go first to the beach. Boleh kami pulang duluan, which means can we go home first. However, when talking with friends, usually the word boleh is omitted. Instead, the word ya is added at the end of the sentence. Example, saya pergi ke pantai duluan ya, which means I'll go first to the beach, okay? Kami pulang duluan ya, which means we go home first, okay? The words duluan is only used in conversation. The meaning is the same as lebih dahulu. Lebih dahulu, which means first. In a formal variety, of course. So when you say, boleh kami pulang lebih dahulu, it means the same as boleh kami pulang duluan, which means may we go home first. Before ending, let's speak Bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the sample of conversation once more.
Hey, tolong antri.
Oh, maaf. Boleh saya mandi duluan? Sebentar saja. Saya akan cepat-cepat.
Kenapa?
Ibu saya sakit. Saya harus segera pulang.
Baiklah, silakan.
Terima kasih.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to learn more about Indonesian. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
Bunga ber bibi cerahnya hari apa yang dia kau matiri. Aku takkan pernah mengerti mengapa tak bisa ku buat dia bersenang hati. Yeah. Oh Tuhan, bantulah dia berdiri dan juga memperbaiki hatinya yang sedih, sedih, sedih. Mohon Tuhan, beri dia kasih sayang, biarkanlah dia pulang dan tersenyum lagi. Aku berlari mencoba memperbaiki segala kemurungan hatimu, bahwa kau selalu sendu. Aku takkan pernah tahu, takkan pernah tahu jika kamu tak akan mau memberiku cara untuk menenteramkan hati. Yeah. Oh Tuhan, bantulah dia berdiri dan juga memperbaiki hatinya yang sedih, sedih, sedih. Mohon Tuhan, beri dia kasih sayang, biarkanlah dia pulang dan tersenyum lagi. Dia berdiri dan juga memperbaiki hatinya yang sedih, sedih, sedih. Mohon Tuhan, beri dia kasih sayang, biarkanlah dia pulang dan tersenyum lagi. Oh Tuhan, bantulah dia berdiri dan juga memperbaiki hatinya yang sedih, sedih, sedih. Mohon Tuhan, biarkanlah dia pulang dan tersenyum lagi. Tersenyum lagi, tersenyum lagi, buat dia tersenyum lagi. Tersenyum lagi, tersenyum lagi.
That was Tersenyum Lagi or Smiling Again, sung by Abi Rama. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a Malayan song to you entitled Tanjung Balai, which will be sung by Tia Ramon. The song Tanjung Balai was composed by Effendi Arif. The song tells about Tanjung Balai City. The lyrics tells about Asahan River, which flows the edge of Tanjung Balai City, and the busy lane of fishermen. The situation adding more beauty of the city. The inhabitants of Tanjung Balai are friendly and polite. They greet people very familiarly. At the end of the lyrics, all people are persuaded to maintain the Tanjung Balai City together. The song will be dedicated by Tia Ramon, a singer who famous in presenting Minang and Malayan songs. Here is Tanjung Balai, sung by Tia Ramon. Enjoy the song.
Tanjung Balai,
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter @voiindonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.